Now back to the Carl Nelson Show.
Thank you for joining us.
So welcome. Good to hear from you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. And that's Congressman Maxine Waters. Let's turn our attention now. Keep moving it as Neely Fuller Jr. has joined us. Neely Fuller Jr., good morning, sir. How are you feeling?
Good morning. I'm still learning.
Good to hear that. I want to ask you this question about, you know, you talk a lot about the system of racism, white supremacy. We saw what happened in Memphis, where these black police officers were accused of killing this young man. How does that work out in the system of racism and white supremacy? Are they racist too? How do you view that?
No, they're victims of racism, and they're acting the way that they've been taught. Like I've been taught that. Been taught that white is right. It's called the system of white supremacy, the most efficient government that the world has ever seen, and also the most evil. That's the name of it, the system of white supremacy in capital letters. So when people go to what we call school, I mean the best schools, if you're going to learn something, you learn how to be, if you're a person of color, a victim of white supremacy, because that's the only thing that they really teach, directly or indirectly. Here it is, Black History Month. That's why they kind of separate it like that. Carter G. Woodson basically said that there's a vacuum here. We're just being taught to go along with what is in place. And what is in place is evil. It's not American system or anything like that. It's the system of white supremacy. So since they're not going to teach us that that's the kind of government we have, the world government, well, we will do it on our own because we have to have some kind of context with what's going on. So when it comes down to so-called policing, black officers are taught to carry out the orders of the system of white supremacy. Black people themselves are taught, what do you do when you get a gun? You kill another black person. That's what you do. You form gangs. Your schoolmates, I mean, eventually you're supposed to see them somewhere on a street or in an alley in the Northwestern Hemisphere and other parts of the world. And your schoolmate, the person that you started out in the first grade with, 10 years later, or rather say 16 years later, 20 years later from your birth, you're supposed to kill that person. They got it set up that way so that you would think that way. Say, yeah, I went to school with that dude, and, you know, but I don't know what happened, but he started saying something, and I said something back, and I wound up killing him. Now I got to cover it up. But now that I think back, yeah, I was in the first grade with him. You know, we were buddies the way I remember it. And some black person right now who has gotten away with that type of thing is probably thinking about that. When did I first meet this person? What circumstances? Everything is set up for black people in the system of white supremacy. Be hostile. Be hostile out of anything you can do. Show hostility toward anybody who looks like you. No matter how you go about doing it, put on a uniform or join a gang and whatnot, but your major reason for breathing, if you're black on this planet in the system of white supremacy, is to, first of all, to show hostility toward anybody that looks like you. That's in economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, war, express some type of hostility. We've all been taught that. We haven't been taught anything else except that, that is of any prominence.
Oh, well, let me jump in and ask you this, Nina Fuller Jr. So, let me jump in and ask you this then. So what do we give them a pass, the police officers, these gangbangers, because they've caught up in the system of racism, white supremacy, we as fellow prisoners? So what do we do? How do we respond to that?
All problems are solved through the process of questions and answers. So you just asked me a question just now. So we just ask, what is the purpose for law enforcement in a system of racism? What is the purpose of it? What they call law enforcement. What laws are you enforcing? You're enforcing the laws of races. If you look at it that way, look at what you're doing and what you're supposed to achieve. Because every move that any person, or creature for that matter, makes on the planet, if you follow the logic, is to produce a constructive result. So you just start by asking, well, why are you a law enforcement officer? You say, you know, and don't break into the answer. Most people have a tendency to do that. Start disputing the answer that you get. The what I call the codified method, which codification just means the best method to use, is just be ready for the next with another question. Because all problems are solved through the process of questions and answers. There are no exceptions to that rule, you might say, or that law of the universe. We'll always follow the laws of logic. So if you're talking to a black person who says, I'm going to be a law enforcement officer, then you say, why? Is that what you want to do? Why do you want to do it? It's four basic questions when people want to do something. What is it you want to do? Why do you want to do it? How do you plan to do it? And what do you expect the constructive result to be? Now, going back to the original question, those four law enforcement officers, you just ask them those four questions in the beginning. What do you want to do? I want to be a law enforcement officer. I want to be a police officer. Why do you want to be a police officer? That's the next question. And like I said, wait for the answer. And don't move to the third question until you've gotten an answer to that second question. Why do you want to be a police officer? Then how do you plan it? Well, I got to pass the test and all like that. What test? You might even throw that in there. Say, well, what are police officers supposed to do? Because it always comes down to the doing part. Always look for that two-letter word, very powerful, do. Now that we've talked about this and that and the other, what's your plan for doing this? Well, to pass the test. What test? See, the next question, the next logical question, you can throw that in there. For the test for what it takes to be a law enforcement officer, a police officer, you're going to enforce the law. Say, well, what do you expect the constructive result to be if you're going to be on the St. Louis police force, the Houston, Texas police force, and you're black? What are you going to do that's going to produce a constructive result? Every move that you make has got to be constructive. One thing, you're carrying all type of weaponry there. So think about that. You've been taught to do things like chokeholds and all that, or how to avoid escalating a confrontation of any kind, which you're going to be doing that all day long, every day, if you're among people. Somebody might be violating some type of law. How are you going to handle it in such a way that it produces what? A fourth thing? When it comes to doing, is it going to produce a constructive result are a non-constructive result, not but two.
And hold that thought right there, Neely Fuller. Junior, we got to take a short break here and check the traffic and weather. When we come back, though, I want you to expound on that, what you just talked about, where police officers should have go for a constructive result or a non-constructive result. What if it goes against their training as cops? I want you to explain that to our audience. Folks, our guest is Neely Fuller, Junior. You got a couple of friends, call them up and tell them that Neely Fuller, Junior is on the radio. They'll thank you, and you've got to listen very, very keenly because he uses logic to explain his points. 800-450-7876. Number to call if you'd like to speak to Neely Fuller Jr. We'll take your calls after the news, traffic, and weather update in 4 minutes right here in Baltimore on 1010 WOLB and also in the DMV on FM 95.9 and AM 1450. WOL, where information is power. Good morning, game family. 20 minutes away from the top of the hour, our guest is Neely Fuller Jr. discussing his tome on racism, white supremacy. And he says, if you don't understand how the system, that's a key word there, the system of racism, white supremacy works, and everything else that you think you understand will only serve to confuse you. Let me just tell you, you got to listen very, very keenly. You can't listen with one ear and be doing something else. But if you're driving, please just turn up the radio because you got to listen very keenly. It explains how the system of racism and white supremacy works. So he says we're all a victim, and then you'll understand. You get the taste of what it is. But again, listen very, very keenly because he uses logic, cause and effect, to prove his points. Anyway, we'll get back to you in a moment. Let me just remind you, tomorrow's Friday, and we'll give you another chance to free your mind, think for yourself, and join us for another edition of Open Phone Friday. Begin promptly at 6 a.m. in Baltimore on 1010 WOLB. Also in the DMV on FM 95.9 and AM 1450 WOL. Neely Fuller Jr., we're talking about the police officers now, especially the ones that killed that young man in Memphis. And you were saying that they have a directive from their training. What if that training conflicts with what you're saying? They should reach a certain solution. How do they handle that as the cops? How do they deal with that issue?
Yes, they were trained to be hostile to people of color, like they are people of color, long before they put on the uniform. That's a part of, and it's practically glorified by black people themselves. Be hostile. Be hostile toward anybody who looks like you. Be hostile. We learn that real early when we're sitting right next to our schoolmates. Be hostile to the black teacher. Put your foot on the desk or whatnot. That's like my mother up there trying to tell me what to do. My mother can't control me, so, I ain't listening to this woman. I get up and walk out of the class, come back when I get ready. And what's she going to do? Now, that's not the way to act. Now, you sit down. I'm trying to get you to sit down and pay attention to what I'm trying to teach you. Oh, you ain't teaching me nothing. And everybody laughs. It's just that chaotic in a lot of places. So that goes, next thing you know, the person gets out and the white supremacist said, well, we got to hire some more officers and whatnot because things are really out of control out here. We've got a murder every 5 seconds because people have been trained. See, we've been free trained. See, the training just doesn't start out there when somebody puts on a uniform or somebody gets a job and whatnot. That training starts before you are born because the generation before you were taught. Be hostile. Be hostile. Find a way to be hostile. Even when you're laughing and happy and everything's going fine, hey, you're among black people. Where's the hostility? Where is the hostility? Somebody's supposed to be doing something to somebody and then laughing about it. Doing something like what? Something hostile. Anything hostile. All of our songs and whatnot are supposed to be hostile. Don't write a song the way you're going to make people inspired to be harmonious with each other. And I'm not talking about when you get on a law enforcement uniform. That's the other end of it. That's the end result. That's when all that spills out, whether the law enforcement is white or non-white. You're taught now. Everybody's been taught the best way for anybody on the planet to act toward people. And the people have color in their skin. Everybody's supposed to figure out a way to be hostile. Why? Because that's the best way. Find somebody who got color in their skin and sit there on the curb if you have to for 40 days and 40 nights until you figure out a way to be hostile toward that person. So you ask the logical question, well, what good is that? It's called feeding the most powerful system and the most productive system of government ever conceived in the minds of people when it comes to what? Getting things done. So the first order of business would be hostile toward anybody who has color in their skin. We have to understand that. If we don't understand that, we're not going to understand anything about how the world is run. For white people or non-white people, it doesn't make no difference what their occupation is. That's what is taught. And we have to reteach. That's why a lot of people are criticizing this wokeness and, you know, CRT, whatever that's supposed to mean. I don't have a handle on what it's supposed to mean. So many people are saying so many different things. But I say, I call it counter-racist truth from what I've heard. And that's the way it should be. We have to reteach everything because everything glorifies what? First of all, the white supremacists themselves glorify violence. That's what all the books are, most books are written about violence, how to be violent. That's white people. I mean, the people who run the world. I'm not talking about white people in general. I'm talking about the white supremacists. They are the most powerful people on planet Earth in the year 2023. That's a fact. Those white people who believe in white supremacy are the most powerful people that the world has ever seen in the year 2023, right now. They have evolved into that. They have made themselves powerful by figuring out how to have a government based on color that, when it comes to handling things, is the most powerful in producing things, which turned out to be the most powerful philosophy for getting things done. The problem with that system, rather than a system of justice, is that it manufactures non-justice on the basis of color, which means you mistreat people because they have color in their skin. Now, it's a simple idea, but it's the most powerful political and religious idea ever thought of. There's no religion and no political system greater than and more powerful than the system of white supremacy in the history of the world. When it comes to getting things done, there's not a more powerful idea, religious idea, political idea, economic idea, more powerful than the idea of mistreatment of people based on color. It gets things done more efficiently than any other government that the world has ever thought about having. That's why you don't have an American government. That's a concept. You don't have an African government of any kind. Of any kind. That's a concept. And you don't have an Asian. I call it the three A's. African, American, Asian. These are concepts. So basically, what are these concepts? If you say something is Asian, or something is African, or something is for sure American, it's the concept of justice. Because otherwise, what good are these concepts anyway if they don't have justice as a centerpiece? being an African doesn't mean anything, not anything. I know I'm trying to cover a whole lot of ground here in a short period of time. Being an Asian, you say we have, you know, a problem with, well, you know, Asian Americans and all that. People are attacking them on the street. No such thing as an Asian. Why? Because there's no people on the planet who practice justice, and the reason they don't is because they got a big stumbling block in the way. Asian means justice, a person that practices justice. Otherwise, you're not an Asian. African means justice, and certainly American. People keep talking about America and mistreating black people. America has never mistreated black people because there's no such thing as an American and never has been. That's something we are trying to be, or say that we are, or should be trying. And we should try to be Africans and Asians, because the qualification for being any one of those three things are people who are not trying to practice justice, but people who actually do it. So what is justice? Guaranteeing that no person is mistreated. You better believe somebody's being mistreated. I don't care where you are on the planet. So you don't have justice anywhere on the planet. Nobody's ever seen or experienced what justice is like. Nobody, ever, in the in recorded history, maybe before recorded history. But I don't know of a time in history when somebody was not being mistreated, or a time in history where everybody who needed help the most got it. I don't know of any time in history where that's happened. So we're supposed to be striving for that to happen. But until then, we're just victims of white supremacy and the white supremacists. These are the big categories of the people on planet Earth in 2023. So what do we do? As long as you have racism, you've got mistreatment of people. Nobody's going to treat anybody correctly. Husbands, wives, so-called families and all like that. You don't have justice. You can't have justice and white supremacy on the same planet at the same time. That is absolutely impossible. I don't care how many courts you got, how many trials you have for people. That's impossible. We have to look at what's going on the way that it really is. And the words, really, is what gets in the way. The words get in the way. So we got to change a whole lot of words from the way we have been using them. And that's why you have the violence out here and whatnot, because in the system of white supremacy, you have to glorify violence. That's why I started off saying a few minutes ago, what are most books about? Violence. What are most movies about? The white supremacists understand this. We got to keep pumping that out there. I mean, we can't have Mr. Rogers all over the place. That's just an idea, like the idea of America. We can't have an America and white supremacy at the same time, or in Africa or in Asia. I mean, of course, those words are associated with justice. America is associated with justice. Asia is associated with justice. Africa is associated with justice. But they don't exist, because you cannot have justice and white supremacy on the same planet, in the same universe, at the same time. It is absolutely impossible.
All right. Hold that thought right there, Neely. We got to take a short break here, check the traffic and weather. Folks, you got to listen very keenly to what he's saying. And don't feel bad if you don't get it. I didn't get it the first time, and Dr. Wilson had to help me out. So don't feel bad. And again, if you're on hold, put it in a question form. As he told you, if you want to know an answer to anything, put it in a question form. Anyway, we got to take a look at the traffic and weather for our commuters this morning. At 7 minutes away from the top of the hour, I'll be back with your questions for Neely Fuller Jr. in 4 minutes, right here in Baltimore on 1010 WOLB. Also in the DMV, we're rolling on FM 95.9 and AM 1450 WOL, where information is power. good morning once again, family. A minute after the top of the hour, Neely Fuller Jr. discussing his tome on racism, white supremacy. And you know what he says, if you don't understand how the system of racism, white supremacy works and all that it entails, then everything else that you think you understand will only serve to confuse you. And I mentioned you've got to listen very, very keenly because he's used this logic, cause and effect, to prove his points. So let's take some calls for him. And let's go to Toronto, Canada. Victor, your question for Neely Fuller Jr. Victor's on line one, by the way.
Oh, hi, Carl. Hi, Mr. Fuller. My question is, why has substituting survival for justice by the non-white people of the world an insane proposition?
Well, hell, sometimes I don't understand the question. So go slow.
Why has substituting survival for justice by the non-white people an insane proposition?
Why have substituting
survival for justice?
Survival for justice
by the non-white people of the world?
By the non-white people of the world.
An insane proposition.
Okay, he's basically saying, why not use survival instead of justice? That's basically what he's saying.
Oh, survival.
And Victor, I thank you for your call. Yeah, survival instead of justice.
Well, the system of white supremacy is a slave system. So when you think of slaves, they manufacture slaves. Okay? Slavery didn't end. In the Northwestern Hemisphere, slavery has always been among all people, so I've been told. But the white supremacists, thus the group of white people, or the one or two white people who started the system of white supremacy, I don't know when that was. A lot of people said 600 years ago. I mean, that's the starting point. And then many people say, no, it goes back as far as 2,000 years. That's how long the system of white supremacy, that type of slave system, was inaugurated. It began 2,000 years ago, some scholars say. I don't know. When people ask me, I say, I don't know, because so many different people say different things. A lot of people say 400 years. That's kind of standard. But then people who say, well, if you're talking about world history and Western Hemisphere history is a part of world history, you got to go back at least 2,000 years if you're talking about when people started doing business on the basis of what color you were. That's when white supremacy really started, 2,000 years. And then the other figure that I hear is 600 years. That's the one that I hear more than anyone. And then most people who are talking within what they call the Western Hemisphere, most people will say automatically 400 years. But this system started at some time. That's what I always say. And it started in the minds of maybe just two or three people, like most things start, and then just spread. But so it's, the evidence shows that it became the most powerful government, even though it's not called that, that the world has ever seen. In every area of activity, that's what the evidence shows. Economics, being white, gives you a lot of time and energy to do a lot of things in the system of white supremacy in the field of economics. So, does it happen in the field of education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war? Now, the white supremacists have monopolized all of the activities of every black tribe, every black so-called family, every black so-called country, every non-white, whatever it is, in all of these areas of activity. That's what supreme means. Look around for the people who tell other people what to do more than any other people. And first of all, you notice something. They're white. And then you also notice something that they are white supremacists. Because I'm not saying that all white people are white supremacists. That everybody caters to them that has color in their skin. And that's what white supremacy means. A lot of black people don't like to hear that word because they say it hurts their feelings. But the first thing you have to do when you're going to get anything done is to admit the truth. So you can find the truth out by what? Questions and answers. Who are the most powerful people on the planet? Just ask that. Who are the most powerful people on the planet? What do they look like? You can start with that as another question after you answer the first question, because you never move to the second question until you have answered the first. So you can just ask yourself that. You don't have to ask Neely Fuller or anybody else, a school teacher, professor. Just say, who are the most powerful people on the planet in anything? Any area of activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. And I say those nine major areas, that's why I call them the nine major areas. Who are the most powerful people on the planet right this minute in those nine major areas? And it's the white supremacists. White people who believe in and who practice white supremacy. Black people with their babies in their arms coming across what we call borders. They're not looking for Neely Fuller to help them out of their problems. They look at me and they say, hey, you got more problems than I got almost. And what problems you have solved, who solved them for you, Neely Fuller? Have you thought about that? Well, the same people that solve your problems are the people I'm looking for when I come across a border. Why? Because they are problem solvers. That's why. They got complete control. You ain't got control of nothing. Get out of my way and let me come across this border, because you ain't got nothing to do with your black self against me coming across a border. You got to get permission to go to the bathroom or the half a bathroom to go to. It's called white supremacy, folks. We need to wake up and smell the coffee and look at everything that we're looking at in a different way. We're looking right at it, but we want to call it something else. Why? Because we don't want to feel weak. When we're prisoners of war, and when you're a prisoner of war, you're supposed to feel weak because you are weak. We were born in slavery. Slavery didn't end in 1865. Slavery has always been around, and ever since the beginning of white supremacy, that was the most effective form of slavery that the world has ever seen. And what does it accomplish? The system of white supremacy accomplishes many material things. So some people have even asked me, well, then why not keep it since you ain't got nothing better? Well, because it's made to manipulate things in a short period of time better than any other system has been evolved, that has shown up in the known universe. Getting things done, that's what I mean by that. Getting things done, the system of white supremacy works more efficiently than any other system conceived in the minds of people. So why throw it out? Get rid of it and try to get something else. Since we worship things, practically, the system of white supremacy always comes up with something new. A new car, a new motorcycle, or something, you know, keeps things going. That's the truth. The system of white supremacy produces more of that type of thing than any other system of government. So why get rid of it? You get rid of it because it throws too many people under the bus. That's why. It destroys people and makes people enjoy destroying each other. When the white supremacists are not destroying black people and messing up their minds and bodies, they're doing something else. They're doing it among themselves. They do it to keep in practice. That's why they worship murder. Write books about it. More books about murder than any other type of book you can find. We see that. We're looking right at it. Or rather, we don't see it. Yeah, I have to get that straight. That's as far as the code. And that is, many, when it comes to race, many look, but few see. See what? See that what they're looking at. That's in the textbook that I've written. See what they're looking at. You're looking right at it, but we don't see it. Why is it we don't see it? We've been trained not to see it, not to see what we're looking at. Looking right at it. Black people are looking at white people all day long. In most places, or some places, the places that are significant, because that's where everything is better. Which way did the white people go? That's the question that everybody asks who's got color in their skin. Because being among a whole bunch of black people, ain't nothing going to happen but something bad. I don't care if it's Somalia or, hey, no, we got to get out of here. We got to get out. Get out of here and go where? Which way did the white people go? That's a no-brainer. That's a no-brainer. Well, do you know which way they went? We better find out which way they went, or we're lost. They have trained us. We're dogs trying to find out where master is. Dogs always looking for master. Why? You get stuff. You have nice things. You got a bowl over there with some food in it. That's why they say black people are animals. We'll treat them like animals. Snap our finger and they come jumping. Why? They know they're better. Talk about white supremacy, folks. That's the most important thing in your existence if you're black. I hope I answered the question.
13 after the top of the hour. Let's take another call from Neely Fuller Jr. And again, folks, you got to listen very keenly to what he's saying. Roger's out in California. He's on line two. Roger, your question for Neely Fuller Jr.
Yes, Abari Ghani, Carl. Congratulations on all your success, and thank you for bringing on the heavy hitters like the gentlelady from California, Maxine Waters, and Mr. Neely Fuller. Mr. Neely Fuller, good morning, sir. There's nothing we can do about white supremacy. They make the money. It's got their pictures on it. When you reach in your pocket and you pull out that slave owner, George Washington, you love him. But my question is, I got into an argument with somebody from another nation. It was over a parking spot, you know, and you can have some heated arguments over a parking spot. But when we got out of our car, I called him every name in the book. I called him a wetback, bean eater, go back to Mexico, all the names I could think of. He came back with me with, you a slave. And you know what? It diffused the situation. It made me laugh. I know he meant it as an insult, but when he called me a slave, it made me laugh. It I was no longer angry, and I thought about it. All the rappers say B's and H's and everything, but they don't throw that slave word around. We don't call each other slaves.
Now back to the Carl Nelson Show.
Good morning again, family. 22 minutes after the top of the hour with Neely Fuller Jr. as our guest discussing his tome on racism, white supremacy. And again, I give you a heads up. You got to listen very, very keenly. You know, this is not a regular kind of program. This is a program that lets you understand how the system of racism, white supremacy works. So, Mr. Fuller, I'll let you respond to Roger's question about the name calling. It diffused the anger when he was called a slave by somebody else. And if you could finish with Roger's responding to Roger, if you can tell us why we need to have a code as well, because I think that's what some of our listeners need to know.
Yes. Everything that works, like the system of white supremacy, works very efficiently. Everything that works has a code. If you go to the grocery store and you get to where you pay, they have some computers up there at the checkout counter. Sometimes you can go through it yourself without even talking to a person. You just go to the machines over there to the side. And you can operate that machine, and you can pay your bill for the groceries that you're taking from the store. And you do that with what they call a barcode system of some type.
This nigga is stupid.
And it's designed to handle things efficiently. The white supremacists of this world, those white people who believe in white supremacy and who practice it, codify everything. Their entire existence, how they're going to conduct themselves on this planet as individual persons, talking about themselves and others. They codify. They say, what's the best way? They always want to know the best way to get anything done. They're the only people who have proven that they are really efficient at doing that. Everybody else copies them. The white supremacists, those white people who believe in white supremacy, are very codified. They look at what there might be 1,000 ways to do something, but they'll say, what's the best way? And they will burn midnight oil forever until they find a way to do it. And that way will be the best way that everybody else will fall all over themselves trying to copy. Because the other people just kind of wander around bumping into things. The non-white people on the planet. Until a white person, and not just any white person, but a white person that believes in white supremacy. That's very scientific. Very scientific. And they codify everything. So in order to counter the system of white supremacy, because it's designed to mistreat people deliberately, you know, that's why it's so powerful. They found out a way to mistreat people without even knowing that the people themselves sometimes don't even know they're being mistreated. They've never known anything else. The white supremacists understand that. See, we teach people that they're supposed to be treated the way I treat them. And they don't even know it. And they mistreat all of their so-called relatives and whatnot, and they think that that's the way to live. Arguments are better than silence. We got that codified. We got them believing that. Everything gets too quiet around here, starts a mess. Even black people call that and laugh. And next thing you know, you got gunfire all over the park. Everybody running in all kinds of directions. Now you say, well, white people do the same thing. Yes. And that's why they're trying to codify that, because the more black people become codified against white supremacy, the more silly things white people start doing. That's just the mathematics of it. That's the mathematics of the universe. You put out poison, you're going to get a lot of that poison on yourself. See, so that's what you see happening now. A lot of black people began a lot of stupid things that they taught black people. A lot of white people are doing a lot of stupid things that's supposed to be directed toward and just takes in non-white people. That the non-white people are supposed to be doing exclusively stupid stuff. So the less stupid stuff that black people do, stop worshiping stupidity, like we do. Anything stupid, we worship it. want to be the major drum majors for it. Anything stupid, find somebody black and they'll grab it in a minute. Anything that makes a whole lot of sense and takes a little bit of effort to figure out, to codify it, so that every time they do it, it works, because that's what a code is. Every time you do it, it works to do what it's set out to do. That's what a code is. The white supremacists are the most codified people that the world has ever seen. They say what we do works better than what everybody else put together does. I don't care what they call themselves or what they say their history is or what their ancestors did. When it comes right down to the wire in the year 2023, all of you dark people, black, red, yellow, come looking for me. Why? I'm codified. I have a code. I have a set way of doing everything, because we don't do anything that doesn't work. And black people are taught to do everything that doesn't work. That's why they're always a mess. Okay?
Pulling that. And hold on, though, right there, Neely Fuller Jr., because I forgot to respond to the question from Roger in California. The name calling, because he called it, the dude called him a slave and sort of diffused the whole thing. What about name calling?
That has to be codified. You don't call anybody a name under any circumstance except the name that person has chosen to call him or herself. That's in the textbook for victims of white supremacy. See, what you do is counteract nonsense. And what's the way of counteracting nonsense? You codify everything, just like the racists do. You say, I'm not doing that. That's not in the code. I operate according to the logical code. Because the universe is logical. So you don't follow Neely Fuller even. That's in the code. You follow Neely Fuller for what? Who is he? What does Neely Fuller follow? That's the questions you ask. See, that's codified. When you're following a person, ask yourself, what does that person follow? If the person is doing anything of value, the logic says the person is following logic. Because everything that works has a logical way of working. That's why, you know, any political system, religious system, if it accomplishes something, it has a code. Find out if you see a person doing something and it's producing a constructive result, you find out where did they learn that. Somebody discovered it because it's in the universe. See, knowledge and understanding of logic, the logic is always in the universe. You can go straight to the logic yourself without going through somebody else. That's the logic of that. Or you can go through somebody else if they can give it to you fast, because that's the fastest way of getting it. That's why we go to what we call school. So all we have to do to solve any problem, including the race problem, is follow the logic. And what is logic? Cause and effect. You do something and it works the way it should work. It works for you and not against you. And that includes name calling. Look at people call each other names. First of all, you want to know, when a person calls you a name, is that person telling the truth? Because you got to have the truth, otherwise everything's going to be a mess. The more black people get away from the truth, the more do we run from the truth, and we do a lot of that, the more we hurt ourselves. Like the person that called in said, the person said, you're a slave. You were calling that person a beanie. Now, first of all, is okay, am I calling him something that's true? Does he eat beans? Well, wait a minute. Use logic. Because I'm doing it right now. Using logic. I just call this person a beanie. Okay? That's supposed to be derogatory. Well, what is a beanie? A person that eats beans. So you have certain people who in the world, they eat a lot of beans. Now, it comes down to another question. Because, see, one question leads to another until all questions are answered. I call this person a beanie. What's a beanie? That's the question. A person that eats beans. I guess that's what it means. Then you have another question right behind that. Do I eat beans? Have I ever eaten beans? Ever? One time? Does that make me a beanie? See how logic goes when you follow the logic? Don't get caught up in people and follow the logic. And what is logic? Questions and answers. That's what logic is. Because when you raise a question, the answer starts coming toward the source of the question. That's codified in the universe. I'm going to say that again. When you ask a question, the answer to that question starts gravitating, meaning coming toward the source of the question. So if you ask a question, the answer starts coming toward you. That's why we say things like, I just thought of something. Now let's follow the logic. I just thought of something. Now that raises a question. Where was that thought before you got it? Inventors understand that. The people who
hold that thought right there. Just hate to interrupt you, but we got to take a quick break and take our last look at the news, traffic, and weather. And I need to lead you to go and dig into that a little bit more when we get back after this quick break at 26 away from the top of the hour. Neely Fuller Jr. We'll be back in 4 minutes, though, in Baltimore on 1010 WOLB and also on the DMV on FM 95.9 and AM 1450. WOL, where information is power.
Now back to the Carl Nelson Show.
And good morning again, family. 20 minutes away from the top of the hour with our guest, Neely Fuller Jr., discussing racism and white supremacy. It's in his book. The short title of the book is called The Code. We'll get back to him in a moment. Let me just remind you that tomorrow is Friday, and every Friday we give you a chance to free your mind, think for yourself, and reach out to us. It's an open phone Friday day. The program begins at 6 a.m. right here in Baltimore on 1010 WOLB, and also in the DMV on FM 95.9 and AM 1450 WOL. So, Neely Fuller Jr., I'm going to let you finish. Tell us about cause and effect, at the code, and then Ryan in Buffalo has a question for you.
Yes, sir. So, like I say, like here on this program, Neely Fuller himself is not as logical as he should be. And that might apply to everybody on the planet. But everybody should try to be logical. Tap into the logic that is in the universe. Cause and effect. And you always want to have the best effect that you can possibly have. That if a creature in the form of a person, all animals should try to do what is the most constructive thing. See, not just cause and effect, but if you're doing something, which is the cause, and you're going to have an effect on something, it should always result in what? The best result, the most constructive result. So those are the two words to always keep in mind, according to codified logic, which all logic is codified, cause and effect. You don't want every move that you make, every word that you speak to someone should have a what, according to logic? Constructive result. That's the two words that I use to express what is logical. Everybody on the planet, every minute of every day, when you wake up to the time you go to sleep, even when you go to sleep. You're supposed to be going to sleep in the correct manner. Put in enough hours on it or whatever to have what? The most constructive result. And you just want to make that more concise, say constructive result. That's what every person on the planet should do. When you start talking about solving the race problem, when you're talking to white people, always keep those two words in mind. No, never separate yourself from those two words. Constructive result. If you're talking about getting married, you ask yourself the question, if I get married right now to this person, is it going to produce a constructive result? And if so, you go on from there and add other questions that you're supposed to have answers to. What are these constructive results? What are these constructive results? And don't make a move until you come up with the answers. Because all questions have answers. It's just a matter of finding out what they are. Finding out what they are. All inventors understand that. So in talking to white people, we talk in terms of, why are they talking to me and I'm talking to them? To produce constructive results. That should be the reason. When you're talking to anybody about anything, like we're talking right now, we're supposed to be producing constructive results. If it's not constructive, we're not supposed to be doing it. Keep it simple. You can't get lost sticking with that ideology, having it in your mind all the time. There's a lot of things going on, but where are the constructive results? Be able to enumerate them. If you can't do that, something is way out of order.
All right, hold that thought right there. Got a bunch of folks want to talk to you, so let's see if we can get some calls in quick. And put in a question for him so he can respond. Ryan's on line three, as I mentioned. He's calling from Buffalo. Ryan, your question for Neely Fuller Jr.
Yes, Mr. Fuller. In your book, you write that non-white people are powerless and pitiful. My question today is, are we non-white people powerless and pitiful because of who we are? Or are we powerless and pitiful because of the system of white supremacy?
Thanks, Ryan.
We have been made who we are, and that's powerless and pitiful people.
Kevin, we think we have a line open. Can you drop line three for us? Thank you.
Yes.
Go ahead, Mr. Fuller.
Yes. The system of white supremacy is designed to have black people a powerless people and a people who are only worthy of pity. If you want to show any attention to them at all, that's to their advantage. You know, they're just pitiful people. Why? We made them that way. They were born that way. There's no black person, no non-white person on the planet here in 2023, that's not under the system of white supremacy. And we were born in the system of white supremacy, because I don't think there's anybody who is at least 400 years old. So if you just want to use the 400-year criteria for the existence of the system of white supremacy, then I don't think anybody has been reported as being more than 400 years old, which is everybody kind of agrees. Most people in the Northwestern Hemisphere say that the business of white supremacy has been running for at least 400 years. So that means that everybody born in any time within that 400 years was born in the system of white supremacy. That's the title of the government, the world government that we have all come under. So therefore, we have been crippled people if you're a person of color. And you became crippled deliberately because in order to dominate people, you cripple their minds and, if necessary, their bodies. And if you cripple their minds enough in such a way that they are dependent upon you, their bodies follow, and their minds and bodies, you got them both. The white supremacists have captured the minds and the bodies of all of the non-white people on the planet. Now, we have to understand that. And so they mistreat the people that they have made this way. Because when you cripple people, you're mistreating them. So the system of white supremacy does what to non-white people? It cripples their minds and their bodies follow. Like we load our bodies up with something gleefully, and we laugh about it and play with it, like drugs and alcohol, far back as anybody can remember. Why? The white supremacists give us those type of things. And like I was mentioning a while ago, and the other caller mentioned, what about beans rather than cocaine? See, we brag about how much cocaine we can snort. That's pitiful. That makes a pitiful people. You're bragging about something that's killing you. Okay? And somebody mentions beans, and you don't want the beans. You'd rather have cocaine than beans. That's not logical. But you've been taught that. You weren't born thinking that. Taught by whom? The white supremacists, the usual suspects. And so we need a better system. We tell white people, we need to really, all of us, white people and non-white people, rather than shouting at each other and coming up with new holidays to brag about and whatnot, just sit down and say, we got too many problems here. How do we get out of these problems? And say, well, do the most constructive thing. Don't do anything that's not constructive. That's the key. And when we talk to white people, we ask that question after talking all day and all night and in the next week and having conferences here and conferences there. You say, wait a minute. What's going to be the constructive result if we go according to these plans? Whether it's economics or pertains to entertainment, the way we entertain ourselves. Are we getting constructive results out of that? And if we are getting constructive results, how? Now, are we getting non-constructive results? Because it's going to be one of two categories. There's no wiggle room. There's nothing in between. And that's what codification is all about. We need a code where we get constructive results every time we do anything, every time we say anything. Like one of the callers said, he called somebody a beanie. That wasn't getting constructive results, but the person reacted in a more constructive manner by saying he could have done better than that, but he said, and you're a slave. I'm a beanie. You're a slave. I'm a person that eats beans. You're a person who's a slave. Now, but that's name calling. They both could have asked another logical question. These all questions are logical. It's the answers that get complicated. But he could have said, what are both of us? You're calling me a wetback. All right. And you're calling me a beanie. Wetback is what? A beanie is what? And I'm calling you a slave. Now, another question. Are we both slaves? How did I get to be a wetback? And I eat beans. Do you eat beans? Well, if you answer the person truthfully, most likely you have eaten some beans. So does that make you a beanie? See, I'm talking about how to think. See, black people are taught not to think at all. That's one thing you do to make a slave. Don't do no thinking. A thinking slave ain't going to be no slave for very long.
And we're going to have to cut it then, because that's a great way to end this. But before we go, how can we get copies of your book?
Yes. Go to producejustice.com, and the 2016 edition, it will be three volumes up there, three books. One is the 1984 original edition. Sometimes people want that original one, but it's got a lot of excellent material in it. But the updated version is the 2016 edition. And then there's an addition to the updated edition of the basic book. That's a word guide. But the basic book is the 2016 edition. But all three books, volumes rather, are up there. You might say all three books or volumes are the same book because they're trying to solve the same problem. But you can get it by going to producejustice.com. And a lot of the things that I was talking about today are said, hopefully, in a more coherent manner than what I have presented to you today. I was all over the place today because I was trying to squeeze in as many different ideas as I could with the time.
But it's fine, Neely Fuller Jr. You did a great job. We got to run because we're running late. If not, we'll pick it up again because we'll continue with these classes so folks can understand how to deal. Anyway, as I mentioned, we're late. We got to get out of here, folks. Thank you, Neely Fuller. You're right. Stay strong. Stay positive, everybody. And please stay healthy tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock, right here in Baltimore on 1010 WOLB. And also in the DMV on FM 95.9 and AM 1450. WOL, where information is power.